appreciate it. And that was such a good setup to the day in terms of your Point Marion experience and the potential that trails can provide to communities. And it's not just potential, it is a proven impact, which I'm going to talk about. So it's also fitting that you started the day by talking about Western Pennsylvania, Southwestern Pennsylvania, which is where I live and have grown up. I was thinking on my way here whenever my carpool buddy and I got a little bit off track, and we ended up taking a rural route here for about the last 90 minutes. So we ended up in Millville and Benton and Chickshitty. And we got to have a look at some of the rural communities that are the types of communities that benefit from trails. And you know, I came to think that Southwestern Pennsylvania and Northeastern Pennsylvania have a whole lot in common. Wouldn't you agree? And then I went to dinner last night with a friend's mother who has spent her life here in Scranton, and she knew about every third person that she saw, and that definitely confirmed my theory. So this is my only self-promotion of the day. You may have figured out from my bio that I come to trails by way of community development. I started in Pittsburgh in urban neighborhoods and promoting neighborhoods, and that's how I started to get into tourism and placemaking, and that led me to rural trail towns whenever I was a part of the team that launched the trail town program along the Great Allegheny Passage. And over the last 3 years, I've been on my own as a consultant. And I think the potential of trails is really demonstrated through my business, because my livelihood is based upon the consulting as well as the professional coaching that Dick mentioned. I take people outside onto trails, and we walk and we bike for sessions, and that's a part of my livelihood. So the economic impact of trails really shows up in the most unexpected of places. So I was talking with my friend's mom last night about my business cycle forward, and she gave me a challenge, like a good mom, to leave this room today with 20 new Facebook likes on my page. So I don't want you to do it now, but at some point, facebook.com/cycleforwardpgh is me, and I have all kinds of stuff on there about community development and trails and tourism. So I did want to start with a little bit about the economic development potential of the Great Allegheny Passage. And just by show of hands, how many of you do know the Gap? Okay, some of you. So it's a part of a 335-mile trail system between Pittsburgh and Washington, D.C., and really has become a bucket list trail. It is just, you know, one of the rail trail experiences out there. You know, there are a lot of people that are just local residents riding the trail, but also we have people from all over the world using it. And there's a small town called Confluence in Fayette County, and there are about 700 residents in Confluence, and yet somehow the community manages to support about a dozen lodging facilities, all small B&Bs, guest houses, bunk houses. And this is one of them. This is a guest house that in 2010 hosted guests from 5 different countries over a 6-day period. And that's without any international marketing. They had guests over these 6 days from Canada, Austria, Australia, Germany, and South Africa. Okay? Yeah, so that is the high dream of trails, I think. That's what's possible. And believe me, this guest house doesn't have this all the time. This just happened to happen. And it shows what can happen. And by the way, most people ride this trail experience, the people that are doing the whole thing, they ride the 335 miles and then they shuttle back or find a way back. This speaks, I think, to the tenacity of the Germans. They flew in to Pittsburgh International Airport, biked to the trail, biked from Pittsburgh to DC, spent some time visiting cultural sites, and they biked back. So that's about 800 miles, all right? So this just gives you some sense of what's possible on the trail. There are all kinds of stories like this on the Gap and other trails. There was a couple from Silicon Valley that visited once, and they rented They actually bought bikes whenever they arrived, and they just treated that like how you rent a car sort of thing. And you know, they were doing massages and expensive wine, and you know, that's, again, that's the high end. And then they donated their bikes when they were done because they didn't want to have to deal with them. So I do want to just give you a sense about what we'll cover. We are going to talk about the benefits of trails very briefly and go into the economic impact, as well as how trail tourism can be a part of the solution for communities, and that the potential is here, and I know that you know that. So if technology is my friend, I'm going to show you about a 90-second clip of a video. So Janet, you might have to do a click, double click there. This is a couple from Oregon who do similar work to me, and yeah, please. And this is what they have to say about bicycles in small towns. Looks like we might need the volume. Oh, well, that's really not good.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, okay. So as Janet is looking to see if there's any sound, look at that.
How do we get rid of that?
Yeah.
Owen.
We don't have to worry about this.
Press escape.
Your sound dollars are all the way to the lower right.
It's only going to be here. It's over here.
Okay, so we're going to start over and see if you can hear it, and if it's a total disaster, that it won't be. Bring the microphone over. You guys are great. Can you hear it at all?
Yeah.
Okay. This one more time, by the way, another short video a little bit later. So as you can see, people are doing this all over the world, right? Communities are figuring out how to leverage the potential of trails, and So the question on the table is, can trails and bicycles save small towns? This couple seems to think so. And by the way, you probably noticed they're talking about road cycling, self-supported. You could see all of the gear on their bikes. We're talking about multi-use trails. I think most of us in the room are thinking about rail trails and bike trails, but even if you are, you know, more focused on water trails or hiking trails, there's a lot of relevance today in what we're talking about. So can they save small towns? Well, I don't know about save, but I do think that trails are a part of the solution for communities that are looking for opportunity. And I think anyone who works in this field would tell you the same. Sometimes it's a big part, sometimes it's a small part, and I think communities will take it. And this slide from the video, I really like it for a lot of reasons, but it's kind of funny to me. It looks like cycling is saving small towns one cheeseburger and one pizza slice at a time. But you heard some of the stories I told earlier, and for a lot of people, yeah, that's what it is. But for a lot of other people, they're spending a lot more than on their cheeseburger and their pizza slices. So I don't think I have to tell you, this crowd, about the benefits of trails, but they are varied, everything from improved health and wellness to increased property values to increased tourism and spending, which of course is my point today, is on tourism and economic impact. This is a picture of my dog Quill experiencing the benefit of fun on the Great Allegheny Passage. A little bit on the health benefits. I mean, study after study demonstrates that outdoor recreation is good for us in so many different ways. And here's an ad that I saw last fall in a local publication by a trailside condo development in Pittsburgh. So this says, biked 20 miles along the river, saw one eagle, two red-tailed hawks, zero cars, this is living. So what this tells me, trails sell. And communities all over they understand that, and they're working to figure out how to raise up trails as a valued community asset. And this is Dayton, Ohio, and for the last several years, they have been working to position themselves as the outdoor adventure capital of the Midwest. I don't know if you can see there. Logo or not there, but they're working very, very hard to do this. They'll be at the American Trails Conference in Portland, Oregon next week, lobbying for Dayton and getting more people there. And this is in Damascus, Virginia, southwestern Virginia. This town, three different trails come through, including the Appalachian Trail, including the Virginia Creeper Rail Trail. And they call themselves Trail Town USA, and as you can see, the friendliest trail town. So there's no competition there between them and the other communities, but they have embraced the trail, as you can see. And I just love this. This is along the same wall. To me, this is the convergence of public art and murals and signage. They just painted on the side of the building where they want you to be. Okay, so, and it's important to be able to try to figure out how to pull people off of a trail into your community. And I've never seen this anywhere else. Yeah. So the Outdoor Industry Association has called outdoor recreation an overlooked economic giant. And I love this second bullet here. 81% of that spending is on trips and travel. It's not just people buying gear. I mean, people are spending on their trips. So I want to ask you, how much do you think that this family spends per day, or spent per day, on their trip along the Great Allegheny Passage? Just throw a couple numbers out. 300 is a family. Who else? You can't just leave me standing here. Someone has to say a number. 150 is a family. Anyone else?
50.
Okay, 50. 50 to 500, I heard, okay? Well, the truth is, I don't know. I didn't take this picture. Anyway, but believe me, there is all sorts of spending happening on the Great Allegheny Passage. This graph shows individual daily spending averages over the last 13 years. I was involved in a couple of studies, as was mentioned, somewhere in the middle, but there were studies back as early as 2000 and as late as last year. And there are some reasons that there's been this gradual climb along the Great Allegheny Passage. So you can see here, in 2006, there was a major connection made that allowed you to go from Pennsylvania into Maryland, and there was now over 100 miles of trail, and people, you know, jumped on the trail to do their long distance trips. In 2007, the Trail Town program was created. So there was this deliberate effort to help communities to benefit from trails and to connect to them. Also around the same time, the tourism agencies became involved, and they were spending money and working together, different agencies collaborating to promote the trail. And then you move along to 2013, and this was whenever the trail was complete. That very last mile was completed, and then the following season, you saw a huge spike in trail use. I wanted to share a little bit about overall economic impact for the Great Allegheny Passage and some other trails in Pennsylvania. I don't want you to put too much into this slide. I hesitated to share it with you because my point is not to show that the Gap is the best or anything to that effect. There are a lot of different reasons that the impact varies, and I'm gonna show a slide on that. There's also variation in the studies. You know, I mean, this might not be exactly apples to apples, but you can see, again, the high dream, in my opinion, is what is happening on the Gap. It's become that bucket list experience. And last year, the direct annual impact attributed to the trail was $50 million. So this has climbed over the years as well. If I had a graph on that, it would show 7 million, 32, 40, 50 over those same 13 years. And you know, the other point I want to make is whether it's the 50 on the Gap or 7 on a 40-mile segment from Erie to Pittsburgh, we'll take it, won't we? Question.
Amy, to what degree do most of these trails employ marketing techniques or companies that market their trails?
For companies that market the trail?
Do they employ marketing companies mm-hmm. in order to draw tourism?
Sure. The only one I could speak to is the Gap, and I know that the tourism agencies that are involved from time to time, they hire professional companies that are, you know, that their expertise is in marketing. But the fact that they, as a tourism community, embrace the trail, see its value, and are working to put the word out there, and you know, to me says a lot. I can't say about the other trails. And then, of course, the Trail Alliance. There's a group called the Allegheny Trail Alliance, and if you go to their website, gaptrail.com, you're gonna see a whole lot of savvy information about the trail. So it's, you know, this combination of the tourism bureaus, the Trail Alliance, the Trail Town program, which is my former employer, working together to market the trail. And that's a part of the reason for its success. That's one of the reasons. And then, of course, you have the small businesses who are savvy enough to promote themselves as a part of this trail experience. So I'll let you sit with that a bit, but we will do Q&A. So if you still have other questions, let me know. Final slide on economic impact of the Gap has to do with return on investment. So it's estimated that there was $80 million of public-private investment put into building the trail over about a 35-year period. Now, what we know about the latest in economic impact is that $50 million of spending is attributed to trail use each year in our region. Now, to me, that shows that in every two seasons or less, that investment is being returned to the regional economy. And that's just direct spending. There are lots of other returns that aren't reflected here, going back to those other benefits, health and wellness, property values, all sorts of different ways that we see return, but this one just has to do with spending. So I've said High Dream a couple of times. Is the gap the High Dream for multi-use trails? I think it certainly seems that way. People from all over the country and beyond are looking at the gap. Last fall, I hosted a group from Canada's maritime provinces who are interested in trails and tourism and trying to learn from what the trails and business community does here. So it would seem that way, but I think that, you know, the success of the gap, you know, will and can be met by other trail experiences and other trails. And to that point, I wanted to share a slide on a project that I spent a couple of years working on, the Industrial Heartlands Trail Coalition in Pennsylvania and neighboring states. And Frank McGuire with PEC is in the room today. He now manages that project. But this 5-state area, 53 counties, trail advocates like you have been getting together and looking at what would happen if you connected all of the long distance trails in the region to each other. The gap is this line here. Okay, that's 150 miles right there. That's just like 10% of the entire envisioned system. This whole system is 1,600 miles. And so what happens when you leverage the success and popularity of the gap and help other trails to connect to it? Dick talked about Point Marion and the Sheepskin Trail. That's a perfect example. So, you know, the future of trails in Western Pennsylvania and the neighboring states, we all hope, is that you won't just bike from D.C. You'll bike, or from D.C. to Pittsburgh. You'll bike from D.C. to Pittsburgh, to Erie, to Cleveland, to Morgantown. You know, like this entire looping system that you can choose from. And I would imagine that you all are starting to think about those connections. I was talking with somebody earlier about whenever those connections happen, that's whenever the magic happens in trails. That's whenever the, you know, real economic development happens. And I think that we will change the way that people bike tour in the United States as a result. So I mentioned the gap, reasons for, you know, the popularity and the economic figures. In my opinion, you know, there was a perfect storm with the gap. There are a whole lot of reasons that the gap is as popular as it is. You know, I think that, you know, it has to do with the type of trail. You know, bike trails do better than hiking trails and water trails in terms of economic impact. It has to do with the length. There's enough of a trail that it's an experience worth visiting. The location, we have access to the DC market, for example. Those folks are just, you know, walking out of their front doors and biking to Pittsburgh. Destination appeal, right? Is it a beautiful trail? Is it a memorable experience? Also the age of the trail. The gap has been around for a long time, even though it wasn't 100% complete until 2 years ago. There's been a long time for word of mouth to spread about this trail. Marketing. I told you that the tourism agencies and the trail lines are working together to market the experience. And finally, efforts to connect trail to town. We will talk about this more, but essentially, I think that's whenever the potential of trails is really increased and leveraged, is whenever you deliberately try to pull people off the trail into your communities. So you here have a lot of those factors. You know, three that came to me right immediately whenever I was looking at this 200 mile radius map of Scranton is the length, D&L, for example, location, access to this part of the US population, and of course, destination. I would be remiss if I didn't show you some imagery from the gap. So we're going to look at a short clip of a video that will give you a sense for the Great Allegheny Passage. Do you need the microphone, Janet?
Oops. Where did I go? What did I
go? Go. There you go.
Just double click on it?
Yes, please.
I probably need the microphone.
Here we go. Thank you, please work.
How's everyone doing? We're going to be winding down here on my presentation. I'll take some questions if there are any. Yeah, it is. Thank you. So you saw the words popping up. History, scenery, breathtaking, innovation, serenity, hospitality, delightful, exhilarating. Does that sound like any place you know? Any trails you know?
Yeah?
Remember that southwestern Pennsylvania, northeastern Pennsylvania, those similarities? I bet you saw some of your communities in that video, more or less. And so whenever I say that you have it here, you have it here. And it's a matter of making the connections and completing the trails and connecting to town, which leads me to my next point. I don't know if you noticed, but about 50% of those images were not of the trail at all. They were images of small businesses. They were images of scenery, of community, and of people. And one of the things that I think makes the Gap experience a special one is that that it's a trail and town experience. And I think that's part of where that economic impact happens as well, is people are, the ones that are traveling to visit the trail, they're on vacation. And they want to experience place, and they want to be a part of the story. And so, do you all know the term trail town? Okay, it seems like some of you do. So the idea, this is the first definition of a trail town from a number of years ago along the Great Allegheny Passage, but it has a lot to do with making those connections, and it has to do with hospitality. And to the point of the connections, usually communities do a trail town assessment so that they can figure out what's working, what's not working before they decide to implement some changes. And a lot of these are physical connections, because people on a rail trail are on a rail trail because it's nice and flat. And you have to decide whether you're going to go up that hill or down that hill to go into a community. And you don't really know what's there unless there's a kiosk like this one, letting you know how to get into town and what you'll find when you get there and what the history is. And so a lot of these connections are physical and doable. And if there's one thing I wanted you to remember today, it's that, well, first of all, the kinds of improvements that are made through trail towns that have to do with some of the things you see listed here, signage and business services and benches and bike racks, these are the things that people intuitively want for their communities. And these are things that anyone can do any place. I love this photo. This is Meterman in Butler, Pennsylvania. And you see so much going on here. You have reuse of an old meter, so you have public art, you have lighting draping over the street, you have greenery, you have benches. What's missing? Yeah, people. So you really should never use a picture like this. But I was there in an off time, and I think it was worth sharing. But these are the kinds of spaces that you want to live in and that people want to experience. And I think, again, that's where the spending happens, is whenever there are communities worthy of frequenting. And it's not all about physical connections or physical space. This is a town between Pittsburgh and Erie on the trail there. Franklin, they have a great trail system, and they have an ice carving festival, and their theme this year was trail towns, because they became a trail town. And so whenever you see a community that is carving the term trail town into ice, something special is happening there. And I think there's a culture shift happening in Franklin and some of the trail towns, and it's culture of hospitality and of embracing the trail as a valued asset. So last few slides here, just a few pictures. I think also important is, celebrating your local culture and local heritage. I think people want to be a part of the story, like I mentioned, and they want to know the story and experience a place. This one here, this guy's making bean soup. This is at a heritage festival that happens every fall in Point Marion. And I did surveys there last fall, And I couldn't tell you how many of the local residents come back every year. The number one reason they said is so they can eat this bean soup. Iconic sites. I didn't show you a picture of Falling Water, but you know, people can get from the Gap to the Falling Water. And there are lots of different iconic sites that I'm sure you have in this region. And so it's like, how do you connect into communities? How do you connect to these sites? How do you create an overall experience for people? And of course, hospitality, I think, is so critical. You know, from here, you see three different pictures. From the left, this bike rack, you can't see it, but it says Lloyd District welcomes bicyclists. What a way to tell people we want you here. In the middle, you have a fix-it station. So not only do we have a bike rack for you, we have a place that you can prop up your bike, and we have some bike tools, and you can work on your bike. And then next is whenever you have the local bike shop or the local restaurant or B&B, that they can help you out with it, or you can wash your bike, or you can fill up your water bottle. It's all about hospitality and going above and beyond, in my opinion. And then finally, just a little bit about the rail trail demographic. I'm sure this is a demographic that is spending money. It's a well-educated audience. And you know, as this said, I don't need a thrill ride. I'm already thrilled enough. It's about the simple things, I think, and the experience. And I guess I can't keep belaboring that point, but I think there's a lot of possibility here. And you know, my conclusions, of course, are we know the benefits. We know the economic impact. And the economic impact is varied from trail to trail and place to place, but it's proven. And spending is spending, whether it's a massage in a B&B or it's a cheeseburger, it's an influx of spending in your communities. And of course, you know, like I said, trail tourism is a part of the solution. I think it's a part of the solution here. And you see things really happening whenever you make those efforts to connect the trail to your communities. So that's it for me. Thank you so much. Do we have time for questions, Janet?
Yep.
Yes,
we do.
Are there any questions?
Mm-hmm. We have looked into trail towns at the Heritage Valley, and I know that we met with we had a public meeting in one of our towns where we have a big trailhead, we have a lovely trail that we've just invested in, and they're all excited about becoming a trail town. But the issue was what you said a few slides ago. Is the town ready for the trail users? You know, they think it's going to be great for business, but those businesses are closed on Saturday and Sunday, a lot of them. You know, they have no place for people to stay. So how do you prepare the town to become a trail town, to get ready, to be willing to really accommodate those visitors?
Sure. Well, the answer is it's hard. And sometimes it takes time. There were businesses along the Great Allegheny Passage that were open too early, I'll say. You know, they were there before the critical connections were made and before there was that critical mass of cyclists. And so sometimes it is hard to strike that balance with small businesses who, you know, just have to be able to justify staying open on a Sunday. We were able to use research that we had from along the Gap that showed that you know, the busiest days of the week were Saturday, Sunday, Monday for a lot of businesses. And I think with small businesses and small towns, the advice tends to be to stay open on the weekends, close Monday and Tuesday if you need to be closed. And so we were able to demonstrate there, well, wait, be careful about Monday. And so it was that trail use data that helped us with that. And so I think a lot of research, a lot of showing examples. I don't know about you, but I mean, I showed you numbers and I told you stories, and I think you have to do both. I think you have to be able to demonstrate success in other places, and sometimes that's making it real through a human story. So I don't know if that answers your question, but it takes time, and it takes those businesses that get it and are hungry for business. And the more they get, the hungrier they get. I don't know if we have any business owners in the room, but you know, the businesses that are doing the best along the Gap are go-getters, and I talked about that Canadian group. And I can't possibly tell you how much money they spent in 5 days. And they spent the money in the businesses that are most savvy, and that, you know, were providing that hospitality and wouldn't dream of being closed on a Sunday. Yes?
I think it's a lot about creativity too. But I just wanted to mention, I just was driving through Chattanooga, and last year I went to the Carbondale Symposium that you had, and I can't not drive through Chattanooga and think of what they've done there. So I said to my brother when I got to Nashville to visit him, I said, do you know that Chattanooga has all these trails and the rivers all stazzed up? And he said, my secretary just left me after millions of years, and and she's living with her new husband in Chattanooga on the trail, and she just loves it.
She'll probably open a business next.
Yeah.
You're right, it is about creativity. There's a question here.
Well, with the Great Allegheny Passage, I think one of the big benefits are the two anchors. So you have Pittsburgh, which is a destination in and of itself, and also DC, and so that really anchors the trail. I think that especially the DNL LHVA to New York connection has the advantage of length, and not to put Scranton down, I live in Wilkes-Barre. Scranton is an awesome town, Wilkes-Barre is an awesome town, Binghamton is also an awesome town. None of them quite have the heft of Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. The other challenge that I see, and it would be kind of interesting to talk to it, is it seems like y'all have just a slightly longer trail growing season, we'll call it. Especially this winter, you know, this weekend, we were at the Black Diamond Trail. It was packed, it was full, but we've had some really terrible winters, and I just haven't seen people out until, you know, the middle of April, you know? So we have like the middle of April till, say, you know, the end of October to get people out there, and I think that's just, we're just going to have to be very creative.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think you're right that it's only slightly longer. You know, the big season is April through October, and the big Savage Tunnel is closed in the winter, so you literally can't get from Pennsylvania to Maryland. The big cities as anchors, you know, that's a good point. Also, you couldn't get to Pittsburgh until 2013, and so that $40 million in direct impact was before the Pittsburgh connection. You know, I would like to say that the big cities make a difference, but, you know, a lot of the small towns provide the experience and the human element. And you know, some people are coming from big cities and trying to get out of the rat race and trying to enjoy, you know, this small town America and be a part of that experience. So it depends on the person, but there are benefits to both. Yeah, Frank?
Well, I was just going to add, you didn't mention Philadelphia, and there's a real natural connection down south for you up here, and that's something that we're definitely wanting to start a conversation about. Mm-hmm. Additionally, in terms of seasonality, take a look at Michigan, take a look at Minnesota. Trail communities in those places are killing it with winter recreation. Duluth, Minnesota is going great guns, and they still have ice right now. They've got about a 4 month trail season as we would think about it. So there's opportunities. You just have to be creative and play to your strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta get those fat tire bikes.
Exactly.
You know what? I'm so glad you said that, Janet, because the first outfitter who, this winter we had the first fat tire bike tour on the Gap. And that's not really great for trails, I don't think. You know, well, in the winter, I guess they're frozen, but that was the first time that somebody really got creative and did a bike tour in the winter because the tires allowed it to be possible. Yeah, and there was a question in the back here.
Yeah, I was going to ask, when you calculate the direct spending as a result of the trail, what's included in that number and where's the data come from?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, I'm not an economist, but we worked with them whenever we did these studies. And it's been a few years since I did a study, but it included direct spending by trail users, self-reported. They were surveyed on the trail. Also, we surveyed businesses, and so we took what the businesses told us and we took what the trail users told us to be able to develop a story and a projection around what people were spending. But it had a lot to do with lodging and soft goods and how people were spending while they were on the experience. And I talked about methodologies and how it's not always apples to apples. If you were biking on the Gap and you went and you toured Falling Water, a group of five of you go and spend $200 at Falling Water, we would count that as a part of a trail spending because the trail brought them to that experience. Those folks in Canada that I work with, they do a study, they would not count that. That's time off the trail. And so, you know, it just, I would love to see somebody do a study about the studies. And I really would. Maybe I could help. I don't know. But there's a lot of variation. Yes?
I just wanted to make a couple of observations. I think because they're big cities, it draws the population. But if you notice that video, there was nothing was in there from a big city.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of those descriptors were from the small towns along the way. And we have it all. I mean, we have the historic sites. Some of those pictures could have been taken in the Scranton area, or certainly northeastern Pennsylvania, and the connections between us and the D&H and the D&L. I think that's what people are really, really looking for. So
yeah,
we have it all. I just wanted, that's part of the other things that we do as a heritage area, in addition to our trail, is to promote tourism by cultural and historic sites and the ethnic culture and all of that. That attracts a lot of people. And just those ethnic festivals alone are worth biking to, I think.
Yeah, I'm missing the Polish festival here, which is next week or 2 weeks. So Janet, it's 9:30. Should I take any more questions or should
I? Yeah, you have a couple more questions.
Okay, so Anthea, please.
Well, first I want to say that this year, for the first time ever, our winter events were more well attended than our summer events. So there is a winter group out there that want to use the trail. You just need to find them. But secondly, I'm wondering, since we have a town close to our trail, that is really ripe to be a trail town. Does the Trail Town Initiative provide any kind of funding for small businesses who want to improve their business or want to add a bike mm-hmm. ramp or make it more trail friendly?
Yeah, so that's a good opportunity for me to clarify. So the Trail Town program along the Great Allegheny Passage is run by a nonprofit called the Progress Fund, and they started by working in 8 communities along the Gap. And there was funding there. There's a great foundation community in Western Pennsylvania, and there was funding to make improvements, some of the kinds that I talked about. There's funding for businesses, and so loans for businesses in tourism and hospitality. And you know, it's not just about business attraction, it's about business retention and helping businesses to expand, those that are already existing, and to add to their services. And so there was a lot of support there along the Gap. And now the Progress Fund is doing trail towns throughout Western Pennsylvania. And that's just one program specific to that region. Now, in other parts of the country, trail towns are popping up. There are trail town programs on the Appalachian Trail, on the Continental Divide Trail, all over the country, really. And those are happening independent of the program in Western Pennsylvania. So in terms of, is there any funding for local businesses here? There's no large national organization that would provide that to you. But the question is, who are your funders here? And you know, who are those entities that would see the value in a regional trail town program? And you know, it takes some time to cobble that stuff together, but I imagine that it's, I don't imagine, I know it's possible here. It's just, you have to be able to work together as a trails community to put that together. David?
Yeah, Amy, one of the things that really impressed me was that trail map that you put together a number of years ago, which each individual town had its, you know, its own community along the trail. I don't know if you have those still available, but you might want to just...
Oh, the map and guides? Yeah, so, you know, I said trail towns are popping up all over. The ones that are going to be effective in improving their communities through trails are the ones that are part of a regional effort. And, you know, you can have a single trail town along a single trail and, you know, okay, it's great that the trail is embraced, but it's whenever you have communities dotted along a trail or a system of trails that are all part of something larger that I think, you know, starts to make sense for visitors. They start to be able to, you know, see this brand and to know what to look for. And what David's talking about is a series of guides. And, you know, there's a map and a business directory and a story about the community's history and culture. And there's one for every community, and it's put out every year. And they all look similar, but unique to that community. So that kind of stuff is important. Yes?
Could you talk a little bit about, like on the ATA, the communities that didn't quite get it and how you brought them around?
Yeah, so on the gap, there were originally 6 trail towns in Pennsylvania, and then 2 were added in Maryland. And they were self-selected not by the communities deciding we want to be a part of it. It was, we're putting this program together. These seem like good communities. And they were communities that had some potential, already had some businesses that catered to trail users, but there was a lot of room for improvement. So those are the kinds of rural communities that were included in the program. And because this is the first time trail towns were ever done anywhere, I think one of the mistakes was that we didn't ask permission. we didn't go to the town council and ask them to pass a resolution to become a trail town. And so there was some resistance, even though I think at that point in time, especially the small businesses were starting to see the value in the trail, there still was a lot of convincing to be done. And this is only 8 years ago. I think it takes time. Anyone that I talk to anywhere, I tell them if you're going to start a trail town program that, you know, that it needs to be community driven, that you have to have that community leadership pass a resolution and say, we want this program here. And I think the fact that the small businesses who are local, some of them spent their whole lives in the communities, some of them relocated, whatever their story was, I think the small businesses that became the biggest proponents of the trail and the trail town program were what helped communities to turn that corner. And still you go to some of these rural towns and there are people that, you know, they don't see the value, they don't know the value, they don't know the name of the trail. I mean, you still have a segment of the community that's not connected to it. That being said, sometimes unexpected segments of the community benefit from the trail. In that town of Confluence, there's a nice B&B where the owner was retiring, and she sold it to her housekeeper. And her housekeeper, you know, went from, you know, doing maid service to owning her own business. And she, not only did she own it, it thrived under her ownership. She grew the business. So sometimes that happens. So you guys want me to take another or to wrap it up?
All right. I think you're good. Thanks, Amy, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.